Welcome to another In Wheel Time podcast, a 30-minute mini version of the In Wheel Time car show that airs live every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central. It's the world's most popular In Wheel Time car talk show. Just ahead, we talk with West Coaster and new car guru Jack Nerad about the Knack toy. Conrad will have the In Wheel Time car talk car clinic, and we'll have this week's auto news. Howdy, along with Mike Out of This World Mars, King Conrad DeLong. We need more Jeff Zekin. I'm Don Armstrong. So glad you could ride along with us on this Saturday morning here out of Houston, Texas. And visiting us all the way out there from the West Coast, our favorite new car guru, Jack Nerad. Good morning, Jack. How are you,
morning,
my friend?
Hey, guys. Great to talk to you.
Well, it's great to talk.
What a pleasure. It's always a pleasure.
Well, it's same with us. And I see that, you know, that place out there where you are hasn't fallen into the ocean yet. And apparently,
Not yet. We had a little shaker, I think, since the last time I talked to you guys. We had a little earthquake, and it was centered not too far from here, actually, 10 miles out in the ocean, I think. Pretty much directly near here. So that gets your heart going a little bit.
I often feel the earth move myself.
Yeah, beneath your
Lucky
feet.
Lucky you.
Yeah. Jack, how are the gas prices out there? Hanging
they're
steady?
High. They're still not as high as they were at one point, but they're still super high. And I was just back in the Midwest. I was at the Chicago Auto Show, got back yesterday. And I think gas prices were about three and a quarter or something like that a gallon in Chicago. I think they're more like $4.50, $4.79 or something like that out here. Maybe $5, but you know, down from where it was, but sure, certainly higher than it was 3 years ago.
I'm thinking we're paying about, well, I did last week,
$2.80.
Yeah. $2.88, somewhere in there.
Yeah, it's kind of easing back up.
Yeah, it has, but it still hadn't hit the $3 level yet. Well, that's not why we called. Well, I guess it is, because we're just going to razz you a little bit, because we're going to get you back. We're going to get you back here to Texas is what we're going to do.
I can't wait. Actually.
Yeah, all right. Well,
I'm going to be there in the summer for sure.
Are you?
Yeah, yeah. We always spend a week just south of Dallas, I think. There's a lake called Cedar Spring Lake, I think, or something like that. I think we're going to go there for the third consecutive year, I think in August, maybe September. But my wife's planned that out. You know, we've got the cottage all picked out, and we're going to do that.
Very nice.
Cool.
Well, so since the last time we talked, North American Car and Truck of the Year Award was announced. You kind of hinted at how things were going to go, and we kind of got the hint, and it turned out to be just that.
Yeah, it kind of worked out that way. Acura Integra was the North American Car of the Year. It was a really close race, actually. All three of those cars that were the finalists were really terrific cars. The Nissan Z, I think, is just a fabulous value. Of course, the Acura Integra is a wonderful value, too. And then the Genesis G80 Electrified is a really cool electric car. I think it doesn't get a lot of talk about it, but I think it's spectacular. It's a really good value.
Have you been able to drive the G80?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what is it in particular that you like about it?
Well, it really has a nice interior. They really pulled out all the stops to have a really excellent interior. I think just its overall demeanor. I mean, it's quiet, it's fast. You know what electric car is like, right? I mean, it's just silent power, silent power, silent power. So it's really good in internal combustion engine form. But when you add that electric power to it, it just makes it even more dramatically good, I think.
Does it feel heavy to you?
You know, that's one thing. And a lot of electric cars do feel heavy, Don, and I get that. This one didn't feel that heavy. And I think it's because it can apply so much torque so quickly. And, you know, it's not the kind of car that you would throw around. I think when you're driving something like the Kia EV6 GT, where you think, okay, this is a sports car, I can throw it around, but it also weighs close to 5,000 pounds. That does feel heavy, but the G80, it didn't strike me as it felt heavy for the kind of car it was.
Let's go back to the Integra, because it really interests me that you guys came up with the Integra as the car of the year, and why?
It's a really good question. Let's go back to how we do Car of the Year. Car of the Year basically is the best new car. You know, the now,
and by new car you mean all new or redesigned.
Yeah, all new or redesigned. So this is a new platform for Acura Integra. Actually, it's bringing back the Acura Integra name that had been gone for 20 years or so.
Yep.
So, you know, that eliminates a lot of cars, right? I mean, there's something like, I would say maybe 30 or 40 brand new cars, that would be eligible for car of the year in any one year, something like that.
Right.
And then we winnow it down and winnow it down until we get to three finalists, which I've already named. And then the Acura Integra was, you know, basically elected. We have 50 jurors who submit blind votes. I mean, we each get 10 votes that we can put any way we want against all three of those cars. And the one with the highest number of votes gets to be North American Car of the Year.
I mean, and what does it include when you judge the car? I mean, you look at the engine and the actual performance of the engine coupled with the transmission, the way it handles, the way it drives, the way it looks, the interior. All of those things are taken into consideration?
Yeah, they're all taken into consideration, and value is a big part of it. And of course, we want to compare cars, and my personal procedure is to compare cars within their class. So
yes,
it doesn't make a lot of sense to compare the Acura Integra, which is a, you know, about a $35,000 car, with a car that's $90,000 in a different class. I guess one of the ways I look at it, it's like the biggest breakthrough in a particular class. And I think the Integra was that this year.
And does it have a competitor in its Honda form?
Well, it's very much like the Honda Civic, and it's based on the same platform, uses the same engines. But I think Acura has done a really good job about separating it from the Civic. I mean, the Civic is a great car. The Civic was a big value, and it was our North American Car of the year before. So obviously a lot of jurors like that platform. I think it's just an excellent value. And what they've done, what Acura has done is give it a little bit more tech. And the interior and the way it's treated inside is higher class, I guess.
Is it considered a midsize, Jack?
I think EPA considers it a midsize. It's really a compact, or it competes against other compacts, you know, just as the Civic does. The Civic, from an EPA point of view, which is based on interior size, is a midsize, but it competes against all the compacts like the Corolla and those vehicles.
Can it comfortably seat three in the back?
Pretty comfortably. I don't know that I want to be the middle passenger, you know, on a cross-country drive, but it's got a lot of rear seat room. And, you know, a lot of these cars now, people don't even think about two doors anymore. You know, most of these cars come in four-door form, and it's just more convenient for people. And they're cool looking even as four doors, right? I mean, it used to be that the cool cars were two doors, and then the, you know, more mundane cars were four doors. But it's not that way these days.
I just find it interesting that of all of the cars that are still made, and obviously that's a shrinking segment, they're not building as many cars as they used to because SUVs are taking over. But I think that it's interesting that you guys selected the Integra. I would think that it would have been an SUV.
Well, we have a utility category, so we did choose the Kia EV6 is the utility of the year.
Gotcha.
And again, it's one of those things where it's difficult. You could make the case, really, that the more important of them is the utility of the year, because more utilities are sold than cars are sold now. And then we have a truck of the year as well, the Ford Lightning. So we don't want to divide it up into like 20 categories. That doesn't make a lot of sense for people. And I think it's important to name, you know, a fairly small number. But comparing, say, the EV6 to the Integra, it's apples and oranges.
Well, clearly that Integra / Honda felt that there was still enough market out there that they could compete in it. And clearly they've won a major award with the Integra. I mean, just the award itself will sell thousands and thousands of cars.
I think they're over the moon to have been awarded that. Like I say, it was a really tough competition with great other vehicles. So it's an important thing for them. And I think a real feather in Acura's cap, right?
So, well, and I think Acura was pretty smart on their part to bring back a named brand that they had from the past that had a huge following that were calling for the next Integra as well.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, previously that platform had been called the ILX, I think. And like, who remembers that, right? These alphanumerics or numeric naming and alpha naming just has not played very well in the United States. And, you know, Acura had really great names, not only Integra, but the Acura Legend. You know, I had the pleasure of naming the Acura Legend the import car of the year, or the Motor Trend import car of the year, in around 1987, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a terrific car with a terrific name, and it had a following for a long, long time.
So, John,
forgiving its English cousin, the Sterling, whatever it was.
Well, I drove a Sterling across the country. I drove it from New Hampshire to Southern California. I got to Santa Monica about, I'd say, 6-8 blocks from the Motor Trend offices, and it quit running. I pulled into a standard station and, you know, made a phone call and said, hey, and I think they came and picked it up, and I never saw it again.
Missed it by this much.
Yeah. So when you've got 50 journalists across the United States, how do you get each of the journalists in the same model, brand, style of car that ultimately becomes the car of the year? I mean, that's got
to
be a feat in
itself.
Well,
it's difficult to do, and we test a lot of vehicles. Of course, really testing is going on now, and it's going on year-round. You know, all of us are fairly prominent automotive journalists with good connections to get cars. Many of us go on a lot of vehicle events, so we're driving those. But it's really our job to drive all the contenders, and we do. We also have a drive week in Ann Arbor, Michigan, you know, outside Detroit, in October. After we've named the semifinalists, we bring all of those vehicles in, and we have about a week-long ability to drive virtually all of those vehicles.
That, now, see, there you
see,
go.
That's, back to back.
I want to go to that.
You just got to narrow it down a little bit.
It's a great thing to go to, absolutely.
Yeah. You just have to become a prominent journalist.
Yeah, I'm not prominent at anything. Well, there's that.
Yeah, that's
but
another
let's
show.
Not even. That's another show. Yeah, that's the X-rated show that comes on after this one on the Black
after midnight
on the Black Network. But at any rate, Jack, I'm in awe of the job that you guys do and the selection process and how you manage to come up with these after driving so many vehicles and you narrow it down in each category. When you start off, how many vehicles are there?
I think typically there are close to 100 that qualify. So 100 new or significantly revised vehicles. In the truck category, we're a little more liberal about what's all new because there's so few trucks, all new trucks all the time. So, but certainly, you know, Ford Lightning was all new and very, very cool this year. But then we, you know, continue to narrow the field down until we get to vehicles that are really top notch.
So how do you determine that field to start with? I mean, is that something you as an organization do? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
we put together a list. You know, we work with the public relations departments of all the car companies to get an idea of what's going to be new for the model year.
Okay.
And we put together this long list, you know, a spreadsheet.
Right.
And kind of go from there.
So then you've got a target. So your members and stuff that are on the board, the jurors, they know, okay, this is my list for this year that I got to get through.
And then narrow it down.
Yeah. All right. I wanted to ask you about what you think, and I've heard this several times now, that finally, that there are some manufacturers that are looking about an actual real compact pickup truck, like the old Ford Ranger, like the
Nissan Frontier,
yeah, the Chevy Love, that kind of small pickup truck, as opposed to the midsize that they now have. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, we have a couple that are kind of like that. I think you could put the Ford Maverick in that category, mm-hmm. As a compact pickup truck on a front drive chassis to begin with. But it is really a truck. I mean, it's a quite a good vehicle. And then there is the Hyundai Santa Cruz, that is a little sportier, but, you know, it also has a pickup truck bed. So, but these are five passenger vehicles. They're kind of like a cross between a compact sport utility and a pickup truck.
Well, see, that reminds me of the El Camino.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, they're kind of like that, except, of course, the Camino had just a bench seat or bucket seats up front, and it was basically a two- or three-passenger vehicle. These are five-passenger vehicles. I really think that, and maybe it's because I'm an old guy, I think the traditional pickup truck style, you know, one row of seats is really cool. And, I'd love to see exactly what you describe as, you know, these vehicles that we used to see in the 70s and 80s, you know, 70s mostly, and then into the 80s until, regulations kind of threw them out the window. Because I think they're very cool.
Well, one of the things that I think of most often, and you still see them around, the old Ford Ranger driven by the pest control guy or the pool guy. Those kind of guys, they need something like that where they can keep the chemicals outside of their living space as they're driving to the next event.
Yeah, and I think the Ford Maverick and Santa Cruz do that at least some extent. I think the Maverick is probably more utility oriented.
Yeah.
The cool thing about that vehicle too is in base form it's a hybrid, so the fuel economy is just through the roof. It's an incredible bargain, really. And then there's an all-wheel drive version with a turbo that's about 250 horsepower. It's pretty fun to drive. And the Hyundai Santa Cruz with the turbo is almost a sports car. It's really cool.
So I got a Ford Maverick sitting out in front right now. And to me, it's like you say, it could be, but it's got four doors. But the inside of it, it's a lot of plastic. It feels smaller. And it's just like, okay, take out the back seat and those doors and you could have what Don's talking about. It's still bigger than what I remember the original Ranger, but it would come a whole lot closer than what's out there right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing when you look at cars from the past and cars I tested new, how small they are.
Right.
You know, a car from 20 or 30 years ago. I was just at the Chicago Auto Show and I saw a Chevy Greenbrier van, and we had one in 1960.
It's a Corvair.
It is a Corvair, and it was so cool. But what I didn't remember was how small it is and how, you know, it's not very tall. The driver is riding in front of the front wheels, which is kind of
they are in the crumple zone.
are the crumple zone.
So, I mean, things have changed, and vehicles have just gotten bigger.
All right, here's one I've got to ask you, and because you talked about small. And why is it that all of the manufacturers, when they come out with a new model of the same brand, that they always grow the vehicle? Why do they do that?
We have mission creep, right? And I think it is fairly basic. I mean, this is my rationale for it anyway. If you're going to improve a vehicle, how do you improve it? Well, you add horsepower, you make it roomier, those kind of things. And those things add weight and kind of call out to be bigger, right? I mean, I think making a vehicle like the same size as opposed to growing the wheelbase a couple inches, then you have to add horsepower to push that around because it weighs more. You have to do more to get fuel economy out of that because it weighs more. I'd like to see more basic cars, but the way the car market is going, people are demanding more and more elaborate things, even toward the bottom end of the car buying process. I think a basic car would really sell. I think in the previous segment, you were talking about Elvis buying a Volkswagen Beetle. A vehicle as basic as a Beetle, I think, might find a market out there.
Well, I will tell you that I'm currently driving a Nissan Kicks, and I'm sure that you've had one, a little underpowered, but certainly the right size for a new family, sending a kid off to school. I mean, it's got all of the accoutrements that you would want. You can plug in your phone and do all that sort of stuff. $27,000 for a loaded up one. You can get into one for just a tick above $20,000. I like it. I like the price point on it. And there's a lot of plastic hard surfaces in it, but that's okay with me. It gets me from A to B in a cheap way.
Well, and it's easier to take care of whenever you got that market
economically.
So what are you excited about this week, Jack, on the new car side?
Well, I saw two really interesting three really interesting new vehicles in Chicago. One was the all-new version of the Subaru Crosstrek. You know, that's been a giant hit for Subaru.
Yes.
I mean, it's such a massive hit for them. And the new one just looks terrific. I think they're going to sell a ton of them. Really excellent car. Toyota was showing their Grand Highlander. This is a Highlander with a real full-size third row, which I think is going to be a giant hit for them. And then Volkswagen has redone the Atlas and the Atlas Cross Sport. Those are vehicles I've liked a lot, and I think that they're going to be hits too. So,
well, Jack,
a lot of cool stuff from Chicago,
no doubt.
How are your Dance in the Dark sales going?
They're going well. Thank you for asking. You know, it's my crime book, and it seems to be going well. So, thanks for bringing.
I love
up.
The cover.
Yeah,
thank you. Yes. Yeah.
Jack, we love you, and we thank you for joining us. Always, we love talking to you. And we wish you all the best out there in the Western atmosphere. And don't let any balloons come this way, please.
Yeah, cut them off there.
You know, who knows what's up in the sky these days,
that's
right?
That's it. Jack, thank you very much. We appreciate you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jack.
Look forward to talking to you again soon. You guys have a great weekend.
You too. Jack Nerad, author and car guru extraordinaire.
Car guy. What a guy. Yeah.
Let's do the racing calendar, Conrad. Do you have that handy?
Yep. Well, you know, tomorrow is the Super Bowl, which means it's the last football game of the year, and that's the start of racing season. So next week is the start of the Daytona Speed Weeks. So they'll have the duels on the 16th, on Thursday the 16th, then the Daytona 500 on the 19th. And then they're going to be on February 26th, NASCAR is going to be in Fontana, California, for the 500 at Fontana. March 5th, they're going to be in Las Vegas. March 26th, they're going to be at Circuit of the Americas in Austin for the EcoPark Automotive Grand Prix. Should be a good race, better race than it was last year, because last year it was a boat race. Because it rained so bad.
You're talking about COTA, Circuit of the Americas.
At COTA,
last week's race was terrible. I watched 5 minutes of it. It was awful.
Oh, that's
Coliseum crap.
Yeah, that was weird. February 25th is at Formula One testing in Bahrain.
What?
And if you follow F1 at all, they're all releasing the new liveries for their cars this year, mm-hmm. and what they're going to look like.
Yep.
Still no finalized word on what Andretti Cadillac's going to look like. And now there's even word out that Ford wants to join F1 as well.
Yep. You know,
so we'll see how all that
Cadillacs
plays out.
Are trendsetters. Yep.
And then the opening of Formula One is March 5th in Bahrain.
Can't wait.
Indy cars open up March 5th at St. Petersburg. NHRA opens up March 9th through the 12th with the Gator Nationals in Gainesville Raceway, March 24th through the 26th with the Arizona Nationals at Wild Horse Pass Motorsports Park, and then the Winter Nationals are March 30th through April 20th. For some reason, I don't think that's winter anymore, so they should call that something else, but not my decision to make. And then here locally, besides COTA, with NASCAR on March 26th, that same weekend in Beeville, Texas, at Chase Field, is the Texas Mile, and that's the standing mile. And probably see some cars go over 300 miles an hour in the standing mile. That's
mm-hmm. Well, before we finish up today, I did want to stick this into the show. J.D. Power released their 2023 U.S. Vehicle Dependability Study. And I got to list them all here, but I'm just going to do the top 10. Okay. Dependability. These are cars with the fewest problems, and the problems are per 100 vehicles. Okay. And Nissan is at number 10. Mini is tied with them down there at 9, as well as Hyundai. Then up above that is Toyota. That'd be 10, 9, 8, 7. And number 6 is Mitsubishi, of all people. Number 5 is Chevrolet.
You wreck my car?
Yeah. And Chevrolet's at number 5, Buick 4, Kia 3, Genesis is number 2, and the most dependable vehicle brand is
Lexus.
Lexus.
Year after year.
Yeah, doesn't that doesn't surprise you? As far as you got any questions? Compact SUV, Kia Sportage. Compact premium SUV, Lexus NX. Let's see. Is there anything here? Heavy duty pickup, Chevrolet Silverado. Large light duty pickup, GMC Sierra. Midsize pickup, Toyota Tacoma. And minivan is the Toyota Sienna. Those are the most. What are you doing? Why are you flashing that at me? Are you flashing the on-air light at me?
Yeah.
I hear you clicking down there. And this will be a year of belt tightening for both General Motors and Ford Motor Company as a potential recession looms. But the rival automakers are coming from very different places as they target billions of dollars in cost cuts. GM record earnings, $14.5 billion before interest and taxes.
That means they're going to do a big layoff now.
It posted nearly $10 billion in net income. Ford generated a bunch, too, but it's reported second net loss in 3 years and fell more than $1 billion short of the earnings guidance. So they got some trouble on the horizon with GM and Ford. We're going to close out today's show right after a quick break.
Tailpipes and Tacos, Houston's premier car cruise and return, Saturday, April 15th to the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex in Katy, 8 to 11 a.m. Bring your Hot Rod, Classic, Restomod, or any other vehicle you'd like to show and compete for one of three highly coveted Chili Pepper trophies. This April 15th kickoff event is one you'll want to put on your calendar because 100% of the money you donate for the free tacos will be given to God's Garage. You heard right, free tacos. Whatever you decide to give, all of it will be given to God's Garage and matched by Loopy Tortilla. God's Garage gifts vehicles to single mothers, widows, and wives of deployed military in the greater Houston area. In fact, the garage will gift a vehicle to a mom in need at this special event. Be sure to attend the next Tailpipes and Tacos Cruise-In, Saturday, April 15th, 8 to 11 a.m. at the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex in Katy on the Grand Parkway at Kingsland Boulevard, just south of I-10. Free breakfast tacos for any donation to God's Garage. It'll make your heart and your belly feel good. You own a car you love. Why not let Gulf Coast Auto Shield protect it? Houstonian John Gray invites you to his state-of-the-art facility to introduce you to his specialist team of auto enthusiasts. We promise you'll be impressed. Whether you're looking to massage your original paint to a like-new appearance, apply a ceramic coating, install a paint protection film, nano-ceramic window tint, or new windshield protection called ExoShield, Gulf Coast Auto Shield is where Houston's car people go. Curbed your wheels? Instead of buying new, why not have them repaired? How about a professionally installed radar detector? Gulf Coast Auto Shield does that too. Get a peek inside the shop and look at the services offered by getting online and heading to gcautoshield.com. Better yet, stop by their facility at 11275 South Sam Houston Tollway, just south of the Southwest Freeway, and get a personal tour. Gulf Coast Auto Shield is your place to go for all things exterior. Call them today, 832-930-5655 or gcautoshield.com. The award-winning In Real Time Car Talk Show is available on the most popular podcast channels out there in 30-minute episodes. We realize our three-hour live show can be difficult to catch in its entirety, so now you can listen every day to a convenient, fresh 30-minute episode. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and Audible, along with a dozen more. In Real Time has the most informative automotive guest interviews and new car reviews, along with popular features including Conrad's Car Clinic and This Week in Auto History, along with automotive news headlines. Our live broadcast airs every Saturday, 8 to 11 Central, on InWheelTime.com, the iHeart app, and on YouTube. Be sure to say hello when we're broadcasting from the Tailpipes and Tacos Cruise-In, Autorama, and the Houston Auto Show, among others. Now, it's easier than ever to hear about all things automotive all week long. You're invited to join fellow car enthusiasts in becoming part of the ever-growing In Real Time Car Talk family. Don't forget those 30-minute podcast episodes on your favorite podcast channel.
Well, that's a wrap for this week's In Real Time Car Talk Show. Hey, when you're online, check out our Facebook page, give us a like, tell your friends about it, if you will, and share all the things that you have with us. You're going to get Conrad's Unicorn Hunting features along with all things automotive all week long, including New car reviews, upcoming events, cruise-ins, racing events, and other informative and entertaining goodies. You'll find the In Real Time Car Talk Show 24-7 on the iHeartRadio app. Be sure and catch In Real Time Car Talk on our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and InRealTime.com every Saturday, 8 to 11 a.m. Central Time. Daily 30-minute podcasts are available from over a dozen of the most popular podcast providers. The In Real Time Chief Engineer is David Ainsley. Our Marketing Advertising Manager and Video Technical Director is We Need More, Jeff Zekin. For booking agent and podcast piddler, Mike Mars, and Mr. Know-It-All, His Royalty, King Conrad DeLong, I'm Don Armstrong. Hey, be sure and join us again for the next live three-hour In Real Time Car Talk Show, Saturday, February 18th, 2023, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time on all of our In Real Time Car Talk outlets. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. Let's visit again next week. So long for now.
That's it for this podcast episode of the In Real Time Car Show. I'm Don Armstrong, inviting you to join us for our live show every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and our InWheelTime.com website. Podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart Podcast, Podcast Addict, TuneIn, Pandora, and Amazon Music. Keep listening, and we'll see you soon.